Well, a big thanks to Darren and the team for driving us through the afternoon. It is Wednesday, March 19th. I'm Shane Dawson. You're listening to Game On. Coming up between now and the new music show at 7pm, a Gaelic Games trio coming your way. Nadine Doherty and Aoife Murray have their say on the ladies' football and Camogie Leagues, while Damien Lawler wraps up all the latest GAA news stories. Plus, we'll hear from the Irish camp ahead of tomorrow's Nations League playoff against Bulgaria. And of course, we'll wrap up today's sports news headlines. If you want to have your say, you can WhatsApp 087 187 9200, text 51552, or find us on X at GameOn2FM.
This is 2FM's Game On.
This is 2FM's Game On indeed. I'm Shane Dawson. Good evening. Welcome along to the show. It is great to have your company between now and 7pm here on 2FM. This time tomorrow, we'll be building up to the big playoff in the Nations League, Bulgaria versus the Republic of Ireland in Plovdiv. And Hamer Halgrimson and Nathan Collins were up on media duty today as we look forward to what will hopefully be a successful playoff and what will hopefully mean that Ireland remain in UEFA Nations League B. But relegation is on the mind of the Irish manager and captain as Ireland prepare for battle in Bulgaria.
The strength of the Bulgarian team is collective, first and foremost, meaning it's an honest team, really an honest team. They are tactically solid, difficult to break down. If you look at the recent results since Ilyan Ilyev took over, 12 games, one loss, and that was a big defeat in Northern Ireland. But from that game, it was definitely an outlier. Conceded 5 goals, but missing 5 players, missed a penalty, 2 shots in the crossbars. So just a day off for them, but impressive run of results last 10 games. 5 clean sheets, so they're a tough team to break down. Have really good results here in Plovdiv, so understand that you want to play here. But even though you have technical player, Kraev or Despotov, who can break up the game, the strength is collective.
As the manager said, they've been really good defensively, so we know how tough it's going to be, but we're going to have to break them down in our own way and pose a big threat to score goals.
Hamir, I understand that you want a good result for confidence and momentum, but does it really matter if we get relegated? And if on that basis, would you be more likely to experiment or, you know, try something different in front of this game than you would for a World Cup qualifier?
First, doesn't matter, is my kind of my thoughts that we need to play good opponents day in, day out to develop as a team. And that is why I think Group B is important for us. It's different views on it, and I respect that. But I think that is really important to be and stay in Group B and play higher-ranked opponents. Experiment, yes, we have players that don't have caps, and we like to see them in action. And like I've said before, we call in players that we think are ready to play, and that's why we bring them in. So will we see new faces? Don't know, but we'll see. But it's also a time to give players a chance, correct? But it's not like we think we're going to lose anything or risk anything in these games. And I think as a group, we like to stay in Group B and compete against better nations.
Can I ask Nathan, after the last result against England, I'm sure that was difficult to take, obviously, but the confidence of the group, have you felt over the last couple of days that the confidence can be restored?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a good game for us here now. I think we're ready to go again. I think, of course, it hurt a lot. It wasn't a nice feeling. The dressing room after was tough, especially because we all just had to leave then after, and we haven't seen each other, or a lot haven't seen each other since. So it's a game we want to bounce back from, and we want to get that confidence back up again.
Well, hopefully it will be a confident showing tomorrow evening. Of course, Game On is with you all the way until 10 o'clock tomorrow. Live commentary, live coverage. Keith Tracy and Pat Fennan will be joining me in studio for some expert analysis. We can hear from another Irish player, Jimmy Dunne. Now, usually these media press conferences, they can be a bit dour. You don't get much from them. But Jimmy Dunne was in good spirits and he's delighted to ride the roller coaster into the Irish squad.
You've been in and around squads before, but were you surprised at the call-up this time?
Yeah, obviously the last time's a few years ago now, so as the years have ticked on, it's become a little bit more difficult. We're blessed with a lot of big defenders in this nation, so it obviously makes things a little bit more challenging, but I'm delighted to be in, delighted to be given the opportunity, and I'm going to try and make the most of it.
How versatile a defender are you?
So versatile. Unbelievably versatile. Attacking, defending a lot. Obviously, I'm playing right back this season, so I'm seeing a couple of other lads are doing something similar. So it's added a lot to my game, thankfully. So whether it be at centre back or right back, you know.
Would you do a job in midfield?
Yeah, number 10, left wing. Whatever they need, I'm in there.
Did you get a chance to talk to the manager yet, or like has he told you why he called you up?
Yeah, he's been at some games. I think I did well in the games, which obviously helps. He wants to get a good atmosphere and a good feeling into the camp, and he's mentioned my character to me a couple of times, so he obviously values that as much as he does the football side of things.
Because it's late enough in your career, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, you'd like to think that as a defender that you've got an extended couple of years on some of the guys. Hopefully I'm one of those that can go until I'm 40, but it does feel quite late. The first time I was in was obviously under Martin O'Neill, and I was 21 years old, so you know that feels like a lifetime ago at this stage.
Does it mean you're going to cherish it a bit more?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, when I came in when I was younger, it was all a learning curve, but now I'm looking to embrace it and appreciate it.
What would it mean to you to get minutes in either of these games?
Yeah, it would mean the world, because it's felt like it's a long time coming. Everybody in Dundalk's been sending me messages, and it's a very supportive parish that I'm from, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of people coming up the road to the Aviva to see if I get a chance.
I hope you do. Best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
The versatile Jimmy Dunn speaking to Tonya Dunhu there. So hopefully it is a positive result, as I mentioned, tomorrow. We are turning our attention to Gaelic games very shortly, but before we take a quick ad break, some fixture updates in the League of Ireland. Last month's postponed SSC Airtricity Men's Premier Division clash between Shamrock Rovers and Cork City has been refixed for Monday, April 14th. The original fixture at Talla Stadium had been due to take place on Sunday, February 23rd, but amid heavy rain and after two pitch inspections had been passed earlier in the day, the match was subsequently postponed less than an hour before the planned kickoff. The match will now kick off at 8 p.m. on Monday, April 14th in Talla. Meanwhile, Cork's home game against Waterford at Turner's Cross on Monday, April 21st will now get underway 2 hours later than initially planned, with a new kickoff time of 5 p.m. Conversely, on the same date, Shamrock Rovers' Dublin Derby meeting with Bohemians will move to the earlier time of 2 p.m. rather than its original 5 p.m. listing. And that Monday's Northwest Derby between Derry City and Sligo Rovers has also been pushed back by a day, and it will take place on Tuesday, April 22nd, at a 7:45 p.m. start time. In the First Division, two previously postponed games have new dates, with UCD's home match against Bray Wanderers now fixed for Monday, March 31st, while Wexford against Longford Town will be played on Tuesday, April 8th, both games kicking off at 7:45. And in the Women's League of Ireland, the draw for the 2025 All-Ireland Cup has been made, with clash of Shelburne and Linfield one of the highlights. All 12 teams from the SSC Airtricity Women's Premier Division will be involved, alongside the top teams from the Sports Direct Women's Premiership in Northern Ireland. Holders Galway United were drawn into Group C alongside Cliftonville, Cork City and Piemont United. Group A will see a Dublin derby between Bohemians and Shells, while Sligo Rovers and Linfield Women are also involved. Lisburn Rangers will compete in Group B alongside DLR Waves, Shamrock Rovers and Wexford. In Group D, Waterford will make their competition debut as they come up against Glentoran Women, Treaty United and Athlone Town. The group games will commence on the week ending April 27th, with fixture details to be confirmed in due course. The quarterfinals will take place on the week ending July 5th, ahead of the semi-finals on the week ending July 27th. And the final, which will be broadcast live in TG Carr, is scheduled for the week ending August 31st. We will be previewing all of the weekend's League of Ireland Women's Premier Division action tomorrow. I might get Rebecca Cray's thoughts on the All-Ireland Cup draw as well. But we are turning our attention to Gaelic games, and Dean Doherty and Niamh Murray will be with us a little bit later on. But up next, after the break, Damien Lawler standing by to chat about the latest Gaelic Games stories, and we'll hear from Monaghan football captain Micheál Bannigan.
Game on. Gaelic football.
Now, Damien Lawler joins us on the line with all the latest Gaelic Games talking points. Damien, I know you and I have spoken at length about the FRC rule changes and more recently about tweaks, and even see reports that the 2 points for a free outside the arc may be altered, and Jim McGuinness had his say on that over the weekend. But are we at a point now where we just need to let the rules settle for the season and see where we are? Never mind the integrity of the league, you'd nearly be concerned for championship chaos at this rate.
We are. That's the short answer, Shane. We're at that point now, in my opinion. And that's, in my opinion, again, how it's going to stay for the rest of the season. Special Congress takes place on October 4th, and I can't see many more changes to what we already have. It's going to take something really, really significant, or something that everybody has missed, or an unintended consequence that none of us saw, I think, for any more additional rules to be tweaked or altered or amended or adjusted. So I'd say we are where we are, Shane, for the rest of the season. And I do see managers calling for the 40-metre a kick to be worth 1 point only, but I do think that will just contribute then to fouling outside the arc, whereby teams know that they're conceding 1 point rather than two, and they're content to take that chance. So I do take the point that a 2 point kicked 40 metre plus free is worth 66% of what a goal is worth. I do take that point, but they tried to bring in the 4 points for a goal, and that wasn't finding favour either. So, no, for everybody's sake now, this needs to settle. And even after all the amendments that took place and that were approved by Central Council last week, there was still some more referee guidance issued midweek. And, you know, for example, the 20-second delay to the kick-out, that's gone now, Shane. It's at the referee's own perception and perspective. So I think there's enough tinkering done now. It needs to sit. It needs to settle. The Allianz Leagues have been really exciting. They've been really dramatic. I think overall we're seeing a better product. It still has its flaws. Parts of the communication process along the way and the education process to the public weren't fantastic. But it's a work in progress. These things happen, and I think it should be let sit now until October the 4th, Special Congress.
Okay, you mentioned lots of excitement in the Allianz League, lots of permutations across all four divisions. One of the few things we do know is that Monaghan will be in a league final. 5 wins from 6 matches so far in Division 2. We can hear from their captain, Micheál Bannigan, now.
Game on. Gaelic football.
Just, and I hope this doesn't sound patronising, but for Monaghan to be at the level that you've continually been at over the last decade, is it just that ferocity and the passion for football up there that keeps young talent coming through the whole time? You know, because you've had unbelievable managers, you've had landmark players as well. Yeah. And it would be easy for some counties, maybe once they leave Division 1, to maybe slip back a little bit. But Monaghan have never let that happen over the recent past.
No, I suppose, yeah, it is a football mad county. Monaghan people love football. But it's also, I think, credit to the work that's been done on the underage level.
Right.
That we have these players, you know, these players just don't just turn up at the same time. If we didn't have the caliber of young boys come into the squad every year that is keeping us at that level, we wouldn't be able to stay at that level. So I think there's serious work been done at underage stuff in Monaghan that's producing these players. Like, we got to an Ireland minor final a couple of years ago, and they won a couple of Ulster championships last number of years as well. So that's definitely it. But it's also, I think, has to be said that the older boys in the group have always set a good standard for us, like the likes of Darren Hughes, Colin Manus, Colin Walsh, the Wileys. They've set such a standard for us as a team in the group, and then it's just about us trying to come in and do the same for younger boys coming in. Like, I think that definitely plays a big part in it as well.
I was up there today, Darren got the knee injury, and you know, you were fearful. Like, I was sitting beside his brother Kieran, which was hard for Kieran as well, and you wonder, will they come back? And just to get himself and Carol back, would that be a huge boost for the younger lads as well? You know, Micheál, just to these guys trust us, they're going to bet on us having a good year, this is why they're coming back, kind of a thing, and their leadership as well.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I don't think either of them two boys would come back if they didn't think there was something in the group. That's definitely a big thing. And obviously, a lot of us, saying in a good way, have only experienced Division 1 football. So going down to Division 2, we definitely need to draw on their experience, and then some of the other boys like Kieran Duffy and Ryan Wiley as well, who have been there and they've won Division 2, and they know what it takes to get to manage a campaign in Division 2, because it's very different to Division 1, when probably you want to get the 6 points and then you want to say, right, okay, we're happy now. Division 2, as we said earlier, is very different. So it's good to have their experience of being there before as well.
So Damien, a really nice chat there between yourself and Micheál. Monaghan played down this weekend, but as I mentioned, a place in the league final already confirmed. So Monaghan regain a seat at the top table. At the first time of asking, a decade-long stay before last year's relegation, they've been a consistent presence and are banging form at the moment too, Damien.
Again, I didn't want to sound patronising because, like, it's not the biggest population in the country. And, you know, they've been at the top table, literally, you know, they're thereabouts, top two tiers since Malik Yarur came in and did such a good job. They've managed to stay there. And I shouldn't be surprised, I guess. It's just you've seen counties come and reach a point and trickle back down again, but not Monaghan. They've a consistent underage production. You know, it mightn't be anything as exalted or as lauded as the Derry one of recent years or indeed Tyrone's. It's quite impressive. It's quite steady. And they're able to produce three or four players to step up to senior intercounty action every single year. And I just have to say, it's a really impressive thing to see then a new management team coming in. You know, they had a kind of a county icon in Vinny Corey and Micheál's uncle Gabriel's after taking over. You know, and they have 10 points, Shane, from six games. And that's an incredible going for them as well. And they play it down at the weekend, but Division One football potentially, you know, what a great season that would be for them. And it just feeds in maybe to, I suppose, the overall strength of the Allianz League this year's battles everywhere. But Division 3, Division 2 have been kind of overlooked a little bit because, you know, don't forget the race for the Sam Maguire and the Talchin Cup is imminent now. And we're going to find out where we stand, Shane, because I think there's a lot of counties there will be trying to stay in Sam Maguire. But this weekend is going to tell an awful lot.
Well, speaking of that, and must credit Niall McCoy, who's a brilliantly detailed piece on the RT Sport website, working out league permutations with 23 teams having something to play for in the Football League. But broadly speaking, what county or counties in particular need a league title to use as a springboard into the summer, perhaps?
Yeah, well, you're right. Look, first of all, Niall's piece is brilliant, but you come to expect that from Niall's work. So you look at Division 4, for example. Wexford needed a bit of lift down there. You know, they need to lift in both codes, but John Hegarty's done great work. I've been very, very impressed with Limerick as well. They'll be looking to get a win at the weekend and get out of Division 4. You know, they've done really, really well, in fairness to them too. Division 3's been really exciting for me. The work that Mickey Hart has done with Offaly, yet again, you know, it's just the results are there. They also have 10 points. Remember the job he did with Louth, and then obviously, you know, his heroics with Tyrone. So Offaly, they would definitely see this as an evolution that's taking place from their underage production lines right up to maybe getting back to Division 2 and potentially even higher. But I think Kildare need to get out of there, to be honest with you. They need to get out of Division 3. It won't be easy. I'm really, really impressed with Clare after Colm Collins stepped aside, Shane, a couple of years ago. They would have been in danger of tricking back down the table as well, but they haven't done that. They have a really steady 8 points. And Kildare were beaten by Offaly last week, so that's left a bit of a squeaky bum time for them. Kildare play Antrim, but the real game here will be Clare versus Offaly. That's going to tell an awful lot this weekend, Shane. So I think that's the Division 3. But again, these two will be looking to get as far up the places as they can and try and get a place in the Talchin Cup. Division 2 then coming down in Westmeath are in the line of fire, and so too are Louth, Mickey Hart's own team. I think Monaghan and Roscommon would like to get up, but what a battle we have in Division 2, because you have Meath, Cavan on 8 points alongside Roscommon. That's 2 points behind Monaghan. And the matchups this week are fairly intriguing. You've got Cavan versus Cork. That'll be a must-win for Cavan. You've got Louth versus Meath, a local derby. Monaghan versus Down, an Ulster derby. And Westmeath versus Roscommon. And, you know, Roscommon will fancy their chances, even though they're away from home, of beating Westmeath and getting back to Division 1. And you know what? Who needs a league title? I think Galway do. I think after losing two All-Ireland finals, Shane, Galway could do with some national silverware. And they started the year fairly well. You know, they're in a three-way tie for the top between themselves, Dublin and Donegal. But we'll be up in Ballybuffet, God willing, on April the 4th for Derry versus Donegal. And I just can't see how a league final is going to benefit Donegal. I could be completely wrong. I could be completely naive. There could be people laughing at me for saying that. But championship is your main focus. And even if you've got squad members in depth and you know you want to maybe 20, 22 players there and you have a couple of injuries, you can afford to rest and balance. But championship's just too quickly around the corner, I think. So I think for Donegal, I'd imagine Galway will target this. But a word too, Shane, for Desi Farrell's Dublin and the job he's done in Division 1 football with so many players and so many All-Ireland medals gone out the door in recent times. He's done an incredible job. And obviously, they've got massive playing resources and, you know, resources of other areas. But there's no denying the job he's done there. A rebuilding job in Division 1 is never simple, keeping your place. So, again, they're fairly well set now going into the championship again. And you know what? For some confidence for the younger players, Division 1 title mightn't be bad for them either.
Lots to look forward to. Jim McGuinness is going to have a Damien Lawler quote now pinned up in the dressing room ahead of a league final. That's going to happen.
I'd say Jim could find people with more gravitas than Damien Lawler, Shane.
Listen, before I let you go, I love a good underdog story. We had the Down Hurlers last week, and now the Waterford under 20 footballers are possibly the underdog story of the year so far?
Yeah, I think so. Look, so they've had two games in the Under-20 Championship. They were beaten by Limerick by 2 points, but they beat Clare. They scored 4 goals in the process in their opening game, and they didn't get around to it then the Wednesday after that. So I wanted to mention it this time around because they're playing Tipperary in a kind of a crucial game at the weekend. But they scored 4 points against Clare. But the key point I've been making here, 3 years ago at minor level, they were beaten by 23 points by the same opposition. And, you know, you saw what happened to Leitrim last weekend and you saw the inability to field the team. I've soft spot for Waterford, Shane. You know, I wrote a book in 2009 and on their challenges and hurdles. And their love of football, really, it keeps a small pool of people coming back and playing time and time again, despite the obstacles or mountains that are placed in front of them. Waterford have, how will I put it, so many hurlers playing intercounty hurling that would be great footballers as well. But obviously hurling down there takes a priority. But there's so many strong pockets of football down there. And again, dual players might put club hurling before intercounty football. That's the reality of it. But for Paul Power, got him back to winning ways at minor level last year. The county board responded, gave him a 3-year term in charge. That leads to stability. They hit 4 goals against Clare. They were narrowly beaten against Limerick, but again, a big one this weekend. And I just think a 23-point turnaround from minor to under 20, well, that's sensational in anybody's language. And on a week whereby, unfortunately, a team was not able to field in the Alliance League, just kudos to Waterford for fronting up and fielding a team every single week, every single month, every time they're asked to. And it's not simple for them. But, you know, again, with the likes of Paul Shankey in charge of the senior team, continuing that great work's been done by the likes of Paul Power and indeed Gerard Power. If I start naming names, I'll be here all day. So fair play to them. And it'll be interesting to see how they go against Tipperary at the weekend, Shane.
Well, the Waterford footballers at all age grades always stepping up to the mark. We'll leave the conversation there for now. Damien Lawler, gentlemen, as always.
Game on. Gaelic football.
Now, before we take an ad break, Nadine Doherty is sitting across from me. Firstly, how are you? I'm keeping well?
How are you?
Very well, very well. If I put up your fader, it would help, Nadine. listen, I feel I come to you as the Donegal spokesperson, really, here. And just because we had a conversation there with Jim McGuinness airing his opinions on the 2 points outside the arc from a free being worth 66% of a goal, would you share his frustrations? And I know he said he's a traditionalist and it's just worth too much for a set piece.
The traditionalist who changed the landscape of football in 2012. You know, he's a stats man, obviously. I don't know about the 66%, Shane, and I don't know if it's an opinion or is it a little bit of mind games ahead of the championship, whereby Galway, who look like the hottest team in the country because they are the, I suppose, the best team at taking the 2 points. But aside from that, I do agree with him, Shane, because, and I've been saying this for years, you know, it was very hard to watch men's intercounty football there for a long time. And you'd have lads at the top of the D and you were sitting under, even like from play, how are they not popping it over the bar? And it was going over the arc and over and back. And then like when the free kick off the ground, I suppose, disappeared for a long time and players were opting to kick out of the hands. It is very easy, Shane, to hit over a 30-35 yard free. So from that regard, like, yeah, absolutely. And I think a point that he made was, you know, very important as well. You know, like, a goal is still only 3 points and that free kick off the ground under no pressure. Now, listen, not to say it's no pressure whatsoever. You're in an All-Ireland final and you're taking
in the heat of the battle. Yeah, kicking into the hill.
Absolutely. But no, I don't think it should be worth 3 points. I think it should have remained as a point. But I don't think they're going to change it now. I mean, I don't think they will go back and change it.
No, as Damien was saying there, let's just let it settle.
But I'm sure there'll be plenty more that Jim will have opinions on throughout the year. But it's not mind games at all, Shane.
The revolutionary traditionalist. An oxymoron? But maybe I'm from a different era. With Championship football, if you saw your name in the paper and you had a point beside it, it was a thing. I wouldn't say it was a big thing, but it was a thing. If we're going to use the 40-metre arc in and it's from play where you've got to lose somebody to get a bit of space and kick it under pressure and the noise and the temperature, the heat of Championship football, okay, maybe 2 points. But for an intercounty player to settle down and tap that over the bar, that doesn't make sense to me. That would equate to 66% of a goal. Did you enjoy when you were playing seeing your name beside the points?
Like, yeah,
I mean, if you're scoring in Championship football, you're scoring in Championship football.
Yeah, and you know, you'd be lying to say that you did. You know, these people say, oh, I didn't read the papers, and I did. Of course you didn't. I'm sure Jim McGuinness picked up the odd Donegal Democrat when he was playing for Glenties and Donegal back in the day, and if there was a few ticks or a few points after his name, he'd be happy enough. So he definitely has a point there. But yeah, look, overall I do think it's one of the rules, one of the very few rules that I feel they could have swapped out. But listen, it's here. And, you know, in saying that as well, you know, it is lovely to see the likes of Shane Walsh or these players kick a free off the ground or kick it out of their hands from outside the arc. And you have to applaud that. But you'd applaud a point and not the two.
You absolutely would. Right. We are taking a short ad break. Before we do, we will be chatting all about the Ladies League and indeed Camogie a little bit later with Aoife Murray. But some news that I missed out. To be fair, it only broke at 6:15. So some breaking news, if you will, for cycling fans. I might want to take a short trip across to Britain because the Scottish city of Edinburgh will host the Tour de France Grand Départ in 2027. It will be the third time the race has started in Britain after London in 2007 and Leeds in 2014. Organisers also confirmed this evening that the Tour de France women's competition will come to Britain in 2027, the first time both races have held stages in the same country outside of France. Further details on routes will be announced in the autumn, but the prospect of a stage on the cobblestones of Edinburgh's Royal Mile is a mouth-watering one. Organisers also confirmed that the Tour's first three stages will be in Scotland, England and Wales. So good news for cycling fans, as I mentioned. Nadine Doherty is sticking with us. We're taking a short ad break. We'll be back to you in 120 seconds.
Game on. Ladies football.
Now, Nadine, lots to look forward to. 51552 is the text number. If you do want to get your thoughts in and have your say on anything on this evening's show. And one listener has texted in, asked Nadine if Donegal do want that All-Ireland title that Damien was saying, that that'd be fine, they don't need it, they don't need it. And it's like, that's going to be pinned up in Jim McGuinness's dressing room now, Nadine. Do Donegal want the league title? It's silverware.
It is silverware. And as a player, you know, I would always have wanted to win every game and challenge for every league title. But I don't think they do want it. Maybe the players do, but they're not saying. But I think it's obvious from how Jim's lined out even the last few weeks that it's not priority.
Too close to Championship.
It's too close to Championship, and Championship is priority. But it's just a pity that, I suppose, football has gone that way, that I know the condensed season in a sense, but even before the condensed season, Shane, you know, teams and managers weren't pushing for a league championship. They weren't they weren't pushing for a league title. So I think you can only blame the condensed season for so much. But yeah, I don't think they want it. I think the championship is the big one. So unfortunately, because you'd love an Isle Day in Croke Park now,
absolutely,
you know, for a league final. So it's a great day out.
No, absolutely. It is. It's a sad state of affairs somewhat when you're kind of overlooking the league now.
Yeah.
It's nothing new, and even with Leitrim not being able to field the team, and perhaps that's a debate for another day, but however. There's been a fortnight break from inter-county action in ladies football. Now, there has been the small matter of the O'Connor Cup, which Meath star Emma Duggan amassed an impressive personal tally of 1-5 in Belfast as DCU claimed their third consecutive O'Connor Cup crown with a 5-point victory over UCC. I say it's a small matter, completely tongue-in-cheek. This is a massive deal and another, as I say, three in a row now for DCU.
Yeah, they've, you know, I'm not sure of the honours list, let's say, for the last 15, 20 years, but I'd imagine DCU are very much up there. It's a huge weekend, Shane. You know, I suppose it's the equivalent of the Sigerson in the men's game. And there's three grades. You have the O'Connor Cup, the Giles Cup and the Lynch Cup. So yeah, look, DCU, third year in a row. And I think it was their second successive year to play UCC in the final. So, yeah, look, TG Cahir and the LGFA streamed the whole weekend, basically. It was excellent. Great football and show. But look, you look at DCU and, like all, I suppose, Sigerson and O'Connor Cup winning teams, Shane, they're littered with inter-county players. You know, you have Niamh Donnan there, Dublin's cornerback, Emma Duggan, as you mentioned, Roisin Murray of Meath and goals. A few of the Kildare girls, Ruth Sargent, Leisha Lenehan. And then, very interestingly, there's a footballer, a stroke camogie player, dual player, Kate Kenny, who people wouldn't be overly familiar with. She's from Offaly and the reason they're not overly familiar with her in the inter-county scene is because she hasn't lined out for a county in a number of years, which always brings us back to the question why. But she's prolific for DCU. She's up there with Emma Duggan in terms of being one of their most important attackers, and she's off to the AFLW this season. It's just a pity for, I suppose, a county like Offaly, who having a star like that, that they don't have her in their team. But look, that's for reasons unknown to us. But yeah, look, DCU in the O'Connor Cup, it's a fantastic weekend. And, you know, you look at the league, Emma Duggan hasn't played too much of the league for me because she's apparently committed to DCU. So it is a massive, you know, it's a massive thing. And you'd have other managers, I suppose, accommodating players who are playing for the college. So there's a good understanding there and that they're not burned out. And that proved very important for DCU, because there you have Emma Duggan playing two games in the league for Meath, maybe one, and she's starring for DCU and captaining them to their third in a row. So a great weekend.
You'd imagine that DCU team, they'd be handy enough in the inter-county league.
Come here. You're honestly, like, you know, you're looking at the Division 1 table there, and I'd imagine that DCU team are probably playing inter-county teams in challenge games, like, for sure. And I mean, outside of the way you'd put Dublin, for me anyway, the best team so far this year have been Armagh, Kerry, Dublin, and they'd give them a game for sure. And the other teams in Division 1, like, I feel they'd, on a good day, like, they'd probably take them. And same with Division 2, obviously you have Cork, Galway, but they'd very, very much, not just DCU but UCC as well, a lot of those O'Connor Cup teams, they would very much challenge inter-county teams, because look, they're a team of inter-county players themselves, Shane. And you know, college football is brilliant, and I think we always speak about this every year, it's competitive, but you know, there is that great fun element to it as well. You know, it's not as serious after the games as inter-county, so I'm sure they had great crack over the weekend.
On those challenge matches, I think it was
all in, the challenge
now,
matches.
Now, in this, I think it was a Cork media outlet that said that no team wants to take a match off the Cork Camogie team in challenge matches. So we might get the Ashburn Cup.
That might
be the happy medium in that regard. Okay, this weekend, so Division 1 fixtures, 1 p.m. Waterford against Armagh and Kilmacthomas, 2 p.m. Kerry Meath in Tralee live in TG Carr, 3 p.m. Tyrone host Dublin in Dungannon, and Mayo against Kildare throws in at 3 p.m. in Swinford. Let us start with the televised match. So, Nadine, Meath against Kerry. Kerry second in the table, second against third. Meath need a victory to have any hopes of maintaining their push for top.
Yeah, I suppose looking at it overall, Shane, you know, I was looking at the table there earlier, and in previous years, you know, the permutations would be a lot more exciting, you know, but the last two rounds of the league now that are left, there's nearly an air of predictability about them in a sense, because your league final and relegation places are all but decided. But as you said, I suppose for Meath to make that final, they'd have to beat Kerry, obviously. They'd have to beat Dublin, or they'd have to beat Armagh away next week, and then Kerry would have to lose to Dublin by a landslide. So the points difference it's massive. So really, they need a miracle. But look, in terms of fixtures over the weekend, Shane, it's definitely the most attractive. As we said, Kerry have all but 2 feet in the final. The only possibility I see of these fixtures happening that I just outlined for me to make that final is Dublin beating Kerry maybe next week. But I just see Kerry as being far too strong for me this week. I think they'll win it comfortably. I just see them, Shane, overall, they're more balanced at the minute. I think they're way ahead of me in terms of their game plan and where players are going to be playing for championship. And I just think their players at the minute...
Are they scheduled to be way ahead? And I ask that, I suppose, with the sense of Kerry want to be peaking at this time where Meath might be approaching the league and...
Yeah, I, to be honest, I don't even know if it's peaking.
Okay.
I just think in terms of, how would you even put it, you know, in terms of confidence in themselves.
Yeah,
they've just been better. Confidence in themselves. I think they will peak at the right time. I said before, I'm very impressed with the new management, how they've just gone in there and it's been almost seamless. And I actually think Kerry look like a better team this year, Shane. I know it's very early on, but there's just certain areas, like their full back line looks a little bit stronger. They've moved players around. They've figured things out quite quickly. And I think if you look at Meath going down here now at the weekend, they're really exposed by Dublin, Shane. They were very exposed when Vicky Wall was nullified. She was man-marked by Grace Coss. She was just totally taken out of the game. And it just showed that for that Meath line to really fire their forward line, they need her. And I think Kerry, similar to Dublin, will physically out-muscle Meath. You know, Meath have strong players and patches. I mean, Vicky Walls, we said, Emma Duggan, they're very physically strong girls. There's one and two others dotted around the pitch. But I think overall, Meath are quite light, and I think Kerry will expose them in that regard. And just looking at players up the middle as well, I just think Kerry are on fire up the middle. Anna Galvin has literally reeled in the year. She's playing better football now than I've seen her in a couple of years. Sheaf O'Shea there in full forward. You have that dynamic half-forward line of Niamh Carmody, and you have Kayleigh Cronin there really lording it in the middle. They're just...
This sounds like a very daunting prospect that you're emphasising how much they've improved as well.
Yeah, they have. And the reason I suppose I'm saying it in a surprised manner is because, and again, we've talked about this before, like they lost half their panel from last year, but it just, they're just going very, very well. And now I don't think they're going to beat Meath out the gate, but I think it'll be a comfortable win, and it'll just allow them then maybe next week against Dublin to take the foot off the pedal a little bit, conserve themselves for the league final. And, you know, we're talking about Donegal, they're not wanting to be in league final. You're looking at Kerry and Armagh, you know, both of them gunning for a league
desperate for a league final.
You know, Kerry made the league final last year and they won in All-Ireland. So, you know, it's a condensed season as well. They show it can be done in a sense. But yeah, it'll be a decent game. I think Shane definitely the pick at the weekend, but I just see Kerry as heavy, heavy favourites.
So more likely than not, Armagh are going to defeat Waterford and Kilmacthomas. So we should talk about daunting prospects. I know Waterford home advantage, but still,
yeah,
coming against this Armagh team that are 5-5.
I know, and do you know what? I don't think Waterford will see it as a daunting prospect, but I just find them the most straightened team to analyse, Shane. Like, they could easily go out this weekend and beat Armagh. Honestly, like, I could totally see them going out and beat Armagh, and I could also see them lose by 5 or 10 points. They're just, you know, they've consistently remained a senior team now for a long time, but they haven't moved on. And that it's because that the only consistent element to their game is their physicality. Like, you're guaranteed that every single week. After that, I don't have a clue what they're going to produce. I do see Armagh going out strong against them. I can't see Armagh taking the foot off the gas. It'll be a good game as well. You know, you look at Armagh, and I think now their players and their squad players are looking at getting that spot for the league final. You know, a lot of their spots are taken, or their defence is fairly settled, but there's one or two spots in the forward line that's very much open, in and around the middle. So I'd see them going all guns blazing, especially, as I said, you know, individual basis. And looking at Armagh too, as you said, they're the only unbeaten team. They've been so consistent with their performances. And again, you know, you look at them kind of like Kerry, you know, their approach has been very good. And considering they're, you know, on year one of a cycle with the management team, it's really impressive. I know the lads were in there coaching last year,
yeah,
but they've really, really put their own stamp on it. They've changed it up a bit. And to be the top scoring team in the division without Kelly Mallon and Amy Mackin, who are your two top scorers, I don't know this stat exactly, but I'd imagine probably they're two top scorers for the last 5 years. It's been really impressive. So those two lads have looked at Armagh and thought, look, where do we need to improve? And it has been spreading the scores out in that forward line, and they're doing it really well. So I, as I said, I can't see them taking the foot off the gas this weekend.
Okay, Dublin have been slowly building throughout this league campaign. How will they have coped with the 2 week break, and how will they be back in action, I suppose, away to Tyrone?
Yeah, they've just gone on an upward trajectory, really, Shane. As you said, you know, each week they've improved, and it's been a mixture of experienced players coming back. Each extra training session has brought improvements, but I've spoken about it before. For me, the most influential element of their game has been their defence. It's been, you know, we talk about consistency. There's a great structure there. They've had brilliant individual performances, but for me, their tackling has been really impressive. They just know what they're doing. I think they'll probably make a few changes against Tyrone, because Dublin, you know, Dublin like to get game time into everybody's legs in the league. They're safe. They've secured their Division 1 status. They don't have a chance of making a final, so they'll probably make a few changes. And I think the two-week break will have done them the world of good. You know, we talk about experienced players coming back. There's a lot of girls there with mileage on the legs. So I'd imagine Dublin did a mixture of a few heavy training sessions along with maybe some team building over the 2 weeks. You know, they're the pros at this stage of timing and tapering their training. And then looking at Tyrone, you know, I remember speaking to you at the start of the year thinking that they that they probably would have done a little bit better in the division. I thought that bit of youth that they would have had, you know, some college players, young players, I thought football this time of year would have suited them. The momentum from making last year's intermediate final would have propped them up the table a bit more, but they've really struggled. You know, they had that one win against Mayo, who are bottom of the table, and they've struggled since. So they're pretty much relegated, but they, you know, they will go out to challenge Dublin at the weekend. They're not going to lie down and not line out a team, but I could just see a comfortable enough Dublin victory.
Finally, Nadine, another team that are at a bit of a low ebb, 5 defeats from 5 matches for Mayo. What, broadly speaking, has gone wrong, and can you see any turnaround in Swinford against Kildare?
No, and Shane, you know, it's very sad to say that Mayo are essentially playing for pride with 2 games left. They're relegated. For me, they shouldn't be. I think it's a combination of, you know, 15 to 20 players not playing for Mayo who should be playing for Mayo. And I just think in terms of their game plan, it needs to be a bit more dynamic than soloing the ball up the pitch, Shane, and hoping for the best, because that is what it looks like at the minute.
There's no chance of a change in those, any players?
I don't know. And I suppose the only people who know that is inside the Mayo camp. You know, I feel if they are to challenge in championship, a change probably is needed somewhere. But, you know, something struck at me there a few weeks ago when they played Armagh and they lost heavily, and Saoirse Shillelagh, who I think is their captain this year, she's a great footballer, you know, real honest footballer, she plays full back, but she scored a goal, Shane, and there was about, I don't know how long was gone in the game, but they were down by about 10 points. And, you know, this isn't, I'm not taking a swipe at the girl personally at all, but they celebrated this goal, and you kind of just thought, is that where Mayo are at?
That's the mindset.
That they're celebrating a goal and they're down by 10 points and they're, after that, if they lose this game, they're possibly relegated. So you're just wondering what's going on in the background. You know what? I don't know, but it's such a shame because they have a brilliant county board in there. They have brilliant structures. They're a team, actually, you know, we talk about attendances, Shane, across the country. Every home game, and I'm sure it's the same for this game in Swinford at the weekend, the county board have, every time, if you purchase a ticket basically to the game, you're entered into a draw for a weekend away in a hotel or, they have something every weekend. So their attendances have gone up massively. They have all these young
players. That's a great initiative.
It's a brilliant initiative, and I'm sure they have plenty more, but that's been publicised, you know. So you have a county like this, like Mayo, with all these brilliant initiatives, and for those girls who are battling it out, training every weekend, and I don't know, it's just, it's very sad to see, to be honest, for a team like Mayo, a county like Mayo. I don't know when they were in Division 2 last, if ever, but that's where they're headed. And look, I feel it's going to be a long summer, or a short summer, excuse me, if things don't change, because they got a very tough championship draw as well, Shane. I don't have it off the top of my head, but I remember glancing at it 2 weeks ago after Congress, and it was, I just thought that's very tough. But look, on the flip side, on the upside, you look at a Kildare team who are the opposite. You know, they've a lot of momentum behind them. They won the Intermediate Championship a few years ago. To me, they probably deserve the most credit of any team in the division if we're being positive about things. They scrapped, they battled, they got 2 huge wins against Meath and Dublin, which really has set them up for the season, because they've secured that Division 1 status. I'd expect them to win this weekend. I expect them to beat Tyrone next weekend, and that would be 4 wins out of 7 games for them, and that's massive for them. They have a few players, as we mentioned before, playing for DCU, really good structures at county board level, and I think if they stick together, they can be a very, you know, a steady team at senior level. I don't see them challenging for an All-Ireland just yet, but a steady, solid team at senior level, and that's what we need.
Okay, very briefly, Division 2, Cork and Galway leading the way. Who do you think will come up out on top? Excuse me. Keep in mind now, I'm going to be chatting to Aoife Murray, who's listening, our proud Corkonian. So,
listen, as expected, Galway and Cork, as you said, they're top of the division. Galway have already defeated Cork, and I suppose that was the big one. But with 2 teams going up, they're certainly going to go back up, which will be great for the division. A nice surprise package, I suppose, in the division, Shane, is Monaghan. They're third. Again, no more than Mayo. When they got relegated a couple of years ago, it was their first time being relegated in a long time. But, you know, they've had some big, big results, you know, big wins over Clare, who are a very strong intermediate team. You know, they only lost to Cork by 5 or 6 points. They beat Tipperary, which was a big, big result again, and beaten Roscommon. So, you know, it's great to see a team like Monaghan. Again, great structures underage. I know the Kinlands were over, they're under 16 team, under 14 team there for a long time. So those kids are coming through. So you'd hope that they stick together as well and get back up to Division 1 in the next few years. But Division 2, very competitive as always, Shane, and there were a few great games thrown in there all year.
Okay, lots to look forward to in Division 2 as well. Just to mention, Donegal, Tip, Cork, Clare, Westmeath, Roscommon, Monaghan, Galway are the fixtures this weekend. Nadine, as always, thank you very much.
Game on.
Camogie.
So we may as well start with Cork, Aoife, considering you're on the line and Nadine was bigging up Cork there. He's going to stick around for the Camogie chat. But listen, the league table couldn't read any better for Cork. They're top of the table, 9 points, 3 wins out of 3 and have a plus scoring average of 39 across the 3 games so far. More than 30 players have been given game time and there are others yet to make their first appearance of the season. So it's amazing strength and depth and in imperious form, Aoife. No fear of peaking too early, I'm sure.
No, and in fairness, it's an easy place to go to, you know, when you look at those numbers. But from what I've seen of Cork, it's just been more of the same. I think, in fairness, what you've seen of Cork so far in the league is probably 7, 8, 10 years of just consistent work done in the background from underage right up to senior ranks. And I think that's probably what you're seeing with the likes of those 30-odd players coming in through, filtering in. And what I've seen is that quality not dropping, the style of play not changing. It's more the same with new players being able to just filter in and fit in. That's probably what's been most impressive, ignoring, I suppose, that scoring difference or where they sit in the table, but just the ability to rotate and to keep levels to a certain stage, I suppose, when you're thinking of where you are in the year, with obviously a far greater challenge to come on down the road. I think that's probably what's been the most impressive thing about Cork.
Okay, well, the challenge this Saturday is Tipperary in the Rag at 2 o'clock. Mm. How do Tip try and overcome Cork in the Rag this weekend? Two teams that are unbeaten in the division, albeit Tip did have a draw against Dublin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you probably, there's a little advantage to Tipperary. I'm not trying to play down Cork's chances. It wouldn't be like me. But one advantage that Tip have is they're playing in the Rag. I know myself, it's probably one of the greatest challenges was actually trying to play the Cork style of game in the Rag. The grass always seemed a bit higher. There was always daisies down on one side of the pitch. And in fairness, I know they're doing the best with what they have. And I don't mean any disrespect to the facilities, but it certainly wouldn't suit a team like Cork that wants space, that want the ball moved quick, and they want to stretch their legs and play that give and go support, 2 players on, etc. That type of game, the Rag does not suit that in any shape or form. So there is a little bit of an advantage to Tipperary, and if I was sitting on that side of the fence, I would totally try and choke and strangle Cork's game, pack to the fence, stop the forwards with any sort of space. Cork haven't necessarily changed their style of play hugely over the last number of years. Little tweaks that they have made, but they still want 2 up top. They still want buckets of space. They want the ball played into space, give and go, the usual type of game. One thing for Tipperary is, in fairness, so far what you've seen in the league is they've got a really strong half-back line. They seem to have really stepped up into a leadership role and have really kind of strangled some teams. And I think that could be the big play for Tipperary this weekend, is if you can get those 3 players on top of their game and strangle the ball as much as possible, then I think absolutely Tipperary would have a chance.
Okay. Aoife, we spoke before about Division 1A having a bit of a two-tiered look to it already, and Waterford took a huge step towards securing their top flight status with a big win over Dublin in Parnell in the previous round. And although Dublin do travel to Galway for the next game, it'll be their home tie against Kilkenny in the final round. That probably is a de facto relegation decider. The Waterford need at least a draw against Kilkenny. Like, Kilkenny could be 4 defeats from 4, which is nearly unheard of for Kilkenny Camogie. So will Waterford be confident of coming away from Nolan Park with a win?
I think they're definitely going to smell a chance of coming away with a win. They seem to have been getting better and better in the league. Had that, I suppose, that draw against Tip early doors, and that's probably what set them up in the league. Mm. But sorry, that was Dublin. Apologies. But for me, I think they're definitely going to smell a chance. Like, the chance, especially to neighbours, they've all probably gone to college together as well. They know each other really, really well. And to be able to go and actually, I suppose, keep Tipperary down the bottom of the table, or Kilkenny, apologies, at the bottom of the table, bragging rights alone, I think would be a huge honours on the table come this weekend.
There's so much thrown into, I suppose, the permutations, and we're only after 3 matches played in 1A. But after earning promotion to the top flight, Dublin will absolutely want to stay there. And they go into what is a crucial, crucial game for Galway. Because after Champions Tipperary handed Galway their first defeat of the year, Galway are going to be looking to respond and Dublin are just desperate for a result. Is there any signs of positivity besides the draw against Tip for Dublin? And then also, what are you expecting in terms of a response from Galway?
I'd love to be positive about some green shoots from Dublin, from the league. I'd love to be. But for me, they haven't shown a huge amount of progression from last year. I suppose the biggest disappointment or the biggest worry that you would have for Dublin, especially going into this game at the weekend against Galway, as you said, coming after that defeat against Tip at the weekend, like, they're going to be out to try and get themselves back into a league. And in fairness, I think we would have heard from Aoife Dunne at the start of the league saying, you know, they don't have a provincial championship. So to get that extra competitive game is hugely important for Galway. And I think that's what they're playing for at the weekend, whereas Dublin are trying to play for some little bit of positivity, a little bit of forward momentum for when they go into the championship. But for me, Dublin are averaging about, I think they're averaging about 10 scores a game. And if you've got, you know, 3 games into the league or 4 games into the league, and that's all that you're getting back, to me, there's just a few alarm bells ringing there.
Okay. Just to recap the fixtures in 1A, Saturday, 2 o'clock, Tip against Cork in the Rag, Kilkenny, Waterford, Nolan Park, Galway, Dublin in Galway. And then in Division 1B, Clare against Antrim and Ennis, Wexford against Down and Ennis, Scorty, Limerick against Westmead. We already do know the makeup of the 1B final. Actually, that's been confirmed. Clare will face Antrim on Saturday, March 29th at the GA Centre of Excellence in Abbotstown. The winners of the league final will be promoted to the top tier for 2026. We will be previewing that closer to the time, Aoife. But just briefly, both sides, 4 from 4. Clare with a plus 28 score difference. Antrim with a plus 20. So very, very little to separate them. Do you feel that will be the case in a closely fought final in 10 days' time?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like as if the Camogie Association knew what way 1B was going to go with the games that have come up. Clare v Antrim, Wexford v Down and Limerick v Westmead, which is exactly how the table is currently sitting. I think it'll be... the final, that is, I think it'll be a cracking game. Both of these teams have their eye on senior championship as well. So for me, getting them back up into that Division 1, I think is such a carrot for either Clare or Antrim. I certainly can see some green shoots there on both sides. I think getting them back into Division 1 next year and keeping them there, either Clare or Antrim, I think that's going to be the biggest, I suppose, challenge for them over the next 12 to 15 months.
Okay, great stuff. We'll leave the conversation there. Aoife Murray, thank you very much. Nadine Doherty, thank you very much. That is all we have time for. Big thanks to Ronan Lawler and Orly Davis working on this evening's show. Bette da Silva is up next with the new music show. Game On is back from 6 o'clock tomorrow with you all the way until 10 o'clock with live coverage of Bulgaria against the Republic of Ireland. We'll also be previewing the Women's Six Nations, chatting to Rebecca Cray on League of Ireland Women's Premier Division and plenty more besides. From all of us here at Game On, it is. Bye for now.